Title: 7 Key Value-Adding LOI Terms. Content: A well-crafted letter of intent, LOI, adds value for the negotiating principals by helping to ensure the parties are in agreement on key deal terms before they spend significant time and money on diligence and definitive documents. It can also help the parties' advisors understand the deal and prepare initial drafts of transaction documents that minimize the number of open issues to be resolved, thereby significantly reducing the time it might otherwise take to finalize the documents. Putting in the additional effort to flesh out details at the LOI stage can thereby help reduce deal fatigue and frustration later on. Below are some often overlooked terms that can bolster your LOI to avoid time-consuming post-LOI disputes and increase the chances of a successful transaction. In rollover transactions, specify the equity buyback terms. Rollover consideration can be a uniquely hot topic, since it binds equity holders to terms that survive closing. In established private equity-backed platforms, buyback rights and obligations are often non-negotiable. To avoid confusion and frustration, we recommend describing the specific buyback terms in the LOI. This includes the price at which equity can be redeemed in certain events, and applicable definitions of key terms like cause and retirement that may serve as triggers for redemption rights or impact the repurchase price of equity. Define indemnification terms. This is especially low-hanging fruit at the LOI stage, where the parties are incented to behave reasonably. Whereas a generic LOI may indicate that the parties will agree to customary indemnification provisions, the well-crafted LOI specifies applicable baskets, caps, and survival periods. It also calls out which representations will be fundamental representations. Buyers should also consider defining separate specified representations that are subject to thresholds and survival periods higher and longer than general representations. These may include representations regarding regulated industries, e.g., healthcare compliance and reimbursement, and sometimes tax and employee benefits. From a buyer's perspective, the LOI should reserve for additional items that may be discovered through diligence. Defined indemnification terms in the LOI removes guesswork when drafting the purchase agreement and saves precious time and costly negotiations at later stages in the transaction lifecycle. Schedule certain defined terms. Agreeing to commonly negotiated definitions at the LOI stage is another way to streamline negotiations by front-loading the work. We commonly see definitions of fraud, debt, knowledge, loss, and material adverse effect, as well as fundamental representations and specified representations, as noted above, specified in LOIs or in schedules thereto. These terms can typically be negotiated in the absence of full-blown purchase agreements, and isolating them in the LOI often provides for quicker resolution. In RWI transactions, specify RWI terms. If the parties will require a representation and warranty insurance, RWI, policy, terms of the policy should be stated in the LOI. This goes hand in hand with the indemnification terms discussed above. The LOI should provide that the buyer will seek an RWI policy with a specified retention amount and step down, if applicable, and specify liability for amounts below the retention amount and how liability for the premium costs will be allocated and paid for. Define restrictive covenant terms. Restrictive covenants are another touchy subject because they bind seller parties post-closing. The LOI should set forth the term, geographic scope, and restricted services applicable to sellers and potentially key employees, as well as applicable carve-outs, grandfathered activities, and triggering events that would cause the restrictions to fall away. For two recent developments on the topic of restrictive covenants, see our articles here and here. Define purchase price adjustments. Depending on the status of financial due diligence, the parties may wish to specify a closing cash target and working capital peg, and appropriate collars for purchase price adjustments if the closing working capital is above or below the peg, or outside of the range. Choosing a peg that accurately represents the target entity's normalized working capital should be a relatively painless exercise and determinant.